So today, we're going to take an opportunity to practice what Jesus was teaching us last week. When you read the book of Acts, it's exciting because the whole first 10 chapters are a story about how the welcome of the early Christian church kept including more and more and more people, breaking down the barriers that normally divide us as humans. So first it was the Palestinian Jews who made up the Jerusalem church, but soon it was the Greek-speaking Jews as well, welcomed as equal partners in ministry. Then it was the Samaritans. We talked about them last week. And then it was the Gentiles, completely different culture, completely different race from the Jews that founded that first church. And then by the time we get to Acts chapter 8, it's a eunuch, an Ethiopian eunuch. In the Old Testament times, eunuchs were banned from even entering the temple. But in Jesus' community, they were welcomed as equals. Would to God the church of Jesus Christ today could live up to that early example. So, here at Life Journey, we are a church that is determined to live into the welcome of Jesus. Today, we're going to hear Jamie Burrier share his life story with us. His life story as a transgender Christian. He and his wife, Alicia, began worshiping with us, has it been almost a year now, thereabouts? And this morning, he's graciously agreed to share his spiritual journey and his story. He's going to start off with a brief introduction of who he is, but let's say a prayer first, and then we'll dive in and enjoy this conversation today. God, we are here to listen and to learn, to practice what it means to be Jesus in the world, to grow our understanding, and knowing that though we're all different, when we hear someone's story, we learn. We learn for ourselves, similar situations in our own unique way that we experience. So, Spirit of God, have something for each of us today. And may we go away from this place with a deeper understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Jamie, introduce yourself a little bit.
Well, my name's Jamie. I've been married to my wife for almost a year, so almost the same amount of time we've been here, but we have been together for 11 and a half years now, and have gone through all sorts of coming out phases, and this is just another part of the coming out stage. By day, I work for Capital Group from home officially due to COVID guidelines until further notice, and I process paperwork and I kind of do my own thing. I listen to audiobooks. By night, I DJ for Zoni's Closet, which is an LGBT owned bar, and I DJ for drag shows. So I push play, put the music in their mouth, and it's something I really enjoy doing. And we're furry pet parents. We've got two dogs and two cats, and that's pretty much the sum of my life.
So, when in your life's journey did you first begin to recognize your gender identity?
So that's the interesting thing. I grew up conservative Lutheran. I knew when I was four that I was supposed to be a boy. And I remember my very first prayer to God was when I was four and I was yelling at him. I don't know if we were supposed to yell at God. At that point, I wasn't sure, but I was going to yell at him because I was four and I was mad that I had to get up the next day and I had to wear a dress again. And it was not comfortable. It was not something that felt normal. It was not natural for me. It was not what I was supposed to be. And being told constantly by my mother and by family members to act like a young lady did not ever make sense. Like, there was just no resonance with me about that. But I was four. So there's nothing I can do about that. So I prayed. I was like, God, why'd you make me a girl? I'm not a girl. I'm a boy. Just magically turn me into a boy. Like, let me wake up. And this was a repetitive prayer. I'm 33. This was a repetitive prayer, like, into my 20s. To just desperately want that to happen because I couldn't figure out another way that I could logically live my true self. So yeah, I knew from a really young age I wasn't able to do anything about it for a long time.
So walk us through then the stages of recognition, coming to terms with, and beginning to move toward your gender reality.
So I grew up being a tomboy and trying to balance wanting to wear very gender-neutral clothes or leaning more towards the boy clothes and fighting with my mom that I dressed too much like a boy. This was all of grade school and middle school, going into high school. Now high school, it's a lot more pressure from everybody to act like a girl because apparently I was very pretty, and so therefore I should show that. And I would go back and forth between being very comfortable in the clothes that I got from the men's department and just being myself and being really relaxed. We have some stereotypes that go with male and female. That's just kind of how the world is generated. But I really do, as far as some of those stereotypes go, I really do have that male side of the brain, if you will. So it was just really relaxed. I was not into the things that girls were into and they got really excited about. I was very excited about sports, and girls get really excited about sports, but like for me, I was like, yeah, like physically burning off energy versus needing to have a 2-hour conversation about my feelings makes a lot more sense to me. And I know that, you know, there's both, that all ends of the spectrum go through those various phases, but you know, I lean a little bit more in that masculine direction. So I was trying to balance that, and then my mom would yell at me for dressing too much like a boy, so then I flipped to the other end of the spectrum and tried to dress as girly as possible in the early 2000s, so, you know, almost midriff shirts, like the hip huggers, and it was really uncomfortable for me. I felt completely out of place, and then was accused of dressing inappropriately for a young lady, and I'd get mad because I was uncomfortable. I was doing this because I was told that I needed to be like a girl, and I'd go back, and it was just this back and forth, really uncomfortable stages. I was cutting myself. I wanted to die. Like, there was just a lot of mental things that were going around with, I can't be what everybody keeps telling me that I have to be. And when I try, I don't like myself. And nobody seems to be okay with the choices that I'm making to do what they've told me to do. And I'm a very logical person. I'm a relatively smart person, so like I have this obsession with needing to be right. Like, I need to do it the right way. And I just couldn't figure out the right way for me that could also be the right way for other people to accept me. So I started transitioning when I was 30, like medically transitioning, because my wife and I talked about it. She was like, Jamie, you're not happy, and you need to live yourself.
Was that your... So... When was the point in time when you said, I've got to live my inner reality? Was that the point? Was it you saying to your wife, I've got to do this, or her saying to you, all right, already, you know, be yourself?
She told me to see a therapist, and I talked to a therapist, and once again, just approached it like from this very logical point of view. She's like, Jamie, you can't turn feelings into logic. She was like, it sounds like this is something that you should have been doing forever ago, but I can't answer your questions. I can't tell you what happens medically. You know all the research. Go talk to a doctor. So it was my wife pushing me to go talk to a therapist about it, and my therapist being like, go talk to a doctor. Like, they're going to answer the rest of your questions. And then you have already made up your mind. You just need somebody to confirm that you've made up your mind. So it's a lot of people pushing me in the right direction, but it started with my wife. And I talked to the doctor, and I was like, so what do? Like, give me the right, like, just give me the answer. I'm tired of guessing. I'm not getting it right. I'm 30. Well, I think it was like 29 at that time, right in that area. And I was like, just give me the answer. I've been doing this for 30 years. I don't want to guess anymore. I don't want to guess wrong. And she's like, I can't make that decision for you. She's like, what I can do is say that if you start on a really low dose of hormones now, you can change your mind. If it feels uncomfortable, if you do this and you start fully just living your true self and you don't like it, she was like, you're not so far into the transition, you can't go back. So I was like, okay, I guess I'll do this. And I came home and I told Alicia, and she was like, okay, I guess we're doing this. She was like, just let me know what I need to do to support you. And like I said, I'm 33 now, so about 3 years into medically transitioning, and I've never been happier with myself. I've never liked myself until now, and I like myself a lot.
Good for you. So you said you grew up conservative Lutheran. How has this journey impacted your spiritual life?
So growing up conservative Lutheran, you were told one thing, which means that you need to be exactly what people tell you to be so that you can be following God the right way. And it always bothered me because Lutherans are known for looking at the Bible as a whole piece, but they still pick and choose what verses we get a hold against other people. So my having tattoos was not necessarily forbidden anymore, but being gay was definitely forbidden, and anything else in that realm. But I always read the Bible as like Jesus saying, like, the summary of the law is love God, love people. And then also reading all of this information of like, if God is omniscient and he is the one who formed me, then you already knew what my journey was. It was like, you, God, this angry voice in my head trying to logic things out with a higher power. And I was like, you, God, created me like this. You knew all of my days before I was anything other than a gelatinous substance that was being imagined, like not anything physical that a doctor could even perceive. You already knew that this was going to be my struggle and this is who I was going to be. And you love me unconditionally. So therefore, I think I'm doing the right thing. Other people disagree with me, and everybody's welcome to their own opinions and their own interpretations, but if I'm not supposed to be suicidal to want to take my own life, and if God created me and already knew that this was my journey, and this is the one thing that would make me feel like me and as a whole person, and if we're not meant to be miserable human beings, and I think that I made the right choice. And the struggle is explaining that to other people.
Yeah.
But I know that God and I are good, and I'll work it out with other people.
Yeah. I wonder, it boggles my mind to think about all of the kids that have taken their life because of churches not able to listen to the Spirit of God speaking to their hearts, saying, love your neighbor as yourself, love the person whose experience is different than yours. How many kids have we lost, not just to suicide, but to being the walking dead? You know, you just kill yourself inside and you conform and you go on with, I'm so glad you made it. How do you answer this question? Do you have any thoughts about do you believe God gave you this path to walk, and why did God give you this path to walk?
So this is the part I'm still trying to work out. If we have logical brain, so I apologize. If we have this sin, that's basically a genetic thing at this point. Like Adam and Eve sinned, it has followed all of us. It has been passed down. So God formed a perfect world. I don't think that God's forming us imperfectly, but I do think that God has created a natural form of life. When we talk about physics and every action has an equal and opposite reaction, there was an action and a choice made. And this is the equal and opposite reaction that comes out of it, because he can intervene, but he's not going to consistently intervene, because that ruins the laws of physics that he set up in the first place. So I don't think that God intended to make this my struggle, but I think he knew that it was going to be my struggle based off of the laws for the way that the planet runs and the way that things run. He knew that that was going to be it, without just miraculously intervening. And, you know, God doesn't have favorites. He loves all of us equally, right? He's not like, that's my favorite kid and let me torture that one. Like, I don't think he does that. And so therefore, I think that's humans go about their lives with this, these laws of inertia and everything else, you know, play out as they're going to play out, because that's how he created the world to go in the first place.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting. I believe God creates our diversity, among other things, because we need that for balance. There, having walked the journey you've walked, you have a perspective on life that is unique, that we, I believe, as human beings and God's children, need to be whole. And I know there's been a lot of suffering in that journey, but by pushing through that and being who you are a gift to all of us, to the world. How did your coming out in terms of gender impact your spouse, your family, your friends?
My spouse was on board. She's actually known since she's known me. She was like, something's not right.
Well, my spouse says that about me too, but
I think they all do, right? So like she, neither one of us had been in our term that we choose is queer, and I know that can be offensive to some people, but we find it very encompassing of our journey. Neither one of us had been in that kind of a relationship before we met each other, and it just, something clicked at Christian church camp, which apparently is what happens to couples at Christian church camp. They eventually get married.
If the churches sponsoring that camp knew what they were giving birth to, you know, they would, God bless them.
So she's always told me she's really attracted to my masculine side. Which I, at that point in college, I was like, I'm not going to hide who I am. Like, I just can't help it. Like, this is the most comfortable way I can present myself and kind of maybe like myself half the days of existing. But, you know, like, we've had the conversation for over 11 years of, Jamie, do you think that you're transgender? I'm not saying you are, you know, for her words. She's like, but I'm saying, like, is it something that you've even thought about? Is it something, and I just fought against it. I was like, no, like, this is just the way that science works and how it is. And like, I have to, like, trying to justify being stuck the way that I was and trying to justify that I'll eventually get over it and learn how to live with it. After 20 plus years of fighting with it, I'll eventually get there. And so I was trying to like force myself into that place. So when I told her, it was more of a, okay, it's another coming out story that we have to do, and kind of a deep breath in it. Let's dive into that, and we'll see where it takes us. Coming out to my friends, most of my friends were like, it's about time. even my god sister, who our parents were friends in college, and so, you know, there were many times that, like, they would be hanging out, and, you know, it eventually turned into a sleepover, and when I told her, she was like, finally. She's like, I knew. I just knew. Like, we played with pound puppies, and you never wanted to play with dolls. And, like, you always wanted to play with my brother's toys. And so a lot of my friends were like, we support you. Like, this makes sense to us. And if it's what finally makes you happy, like, this is what you should be doing. Telling my family was a whole different ballgame. I have a younger sister who's 11 and a half years younger than me, and she's very conservative, still trying to work things out. And I was the most nervous to tell her because she's... I have a favorite sibling. I feel like you're allowed to have favorite siblings. She's my favorite. And I was so nervous, and I was like, I've tried so hard to be a good example for you, but here we go. And I told her over the phone, and she cried a little because she's a very emotional young woman. And she was like, Jamie, it's okay. She was like, it's okay. She's like, if this is going to be what makes you happy, she's like, I will do everything I can. And she... she's been great about it. My older sister, when I told her, we're 14 months apart, and we talk about four times a year because she's not my favorite, and we don't really get along. But when I told her, she was like, this makes perfect sense to me. Like, this explains most of our relationship, that this makes perfect sense. So she's on board, and I have my mom, my dad, and my stepdad, and I told my dad, and he responded very angrily, and him and I didn't talk for a year. And then suddenly, out of the blue, he started speaking to me again, and so it was about December or so that he kind of jumped back on board and was speaking to me off and on. And so I think we're in an okay place now. I've not seen him physically in person for almost 2 years at this point. He did not come to our wedding because things were not in a good place after he responded. He was not happy. He told me that I was probably going to go to hell. He said that the church that accepted and welcomed us was wrong. So sorry to all of you.
It's good to know.
Good to know. And it was bad. And then, you know, sometime this past spring, he was like, I would love to come visit you and Alicia and see the dogs, because he's a big dog person. And, you know, just visit, see your house. He's never seen the house that we bought together. And I was like, Dad, I have a beard. I'm not shaving if you come to visit. And he's like, well, it's going to get real itchy in the summer, just so you know. I was like, that's the most positive thing you've ever said. Thank you for giving me a reality check. I'll keep that in mind. My mom just cried, and she really struggles and slash doesn't seem to make an effort most of the time to work on the pronouns. She's also raising my niece and nephew, and they're first grade and third grade, so that's also making things even more confusing for them because she just doesn't want to have that conversation. And my stepdad just tries to avoid pronouns completely. And him and I, we have a pretty good relationship, but it's just, he doesn't know what to do. This is not the life that he grew up in, and my family has thrown him for so many loops. God bless the guy for still being around, to be honest. Because we are by far not the picture-perfect Christian family at all. And he's still there, and still trying to process it as it goes. So he just avoids pronouns, and we just don't talk about it, and it feels normal when I'm interacting with him. But with my mom, that's the struggle point, because she was a single mom for a while, and, you know, she did a really good job as a single mom, and then she got remarried, and I feel like a lot of things changed, and she just really struggles with change, and she's just not happy, and she wasn't happy that I legally changed my name to James, even though I was always Jamie before, and I was like, it's not that far of a leap. It's really, I've been called James since kindergarten as a nickname, so it's not that far of a leap, but she, just every single step of the way, has been a struggle, and we're still working on that. My little sister defends me to her to the point that I'm afraid she's going to get kicked out of my parents' house sometimes because she just yells at my mom, so, like, God bless her little heart, but she needs to stop. Like, you need a place to live. It can't be at my house because it's too far from school. Mm-hmm. So family's been the struggle, and it's always going to be a family's always a struggle, right? Like, what straight, gay, trans, you know, good kid, bad kid, family will always be a struggle. So this is just my personal struggle with family, I guess. Mm.
So somebody says to you, hey, Jamie, how do you know God's okay with this? You say,
he didn't smite me yet. And if we're going to go with the Old Testament definitions, lots of bad things should have happened to me already. But to be honest, how do you know God's okay with you? You feel it, right?
Yeah.
Like, if I ask my mom, how do you know that God's okay with you doing your best you can? Well, it's something you feel in your heart. It's something you just know. You innately know. It's that feeling. It's the goosebumps you get on your skin when you hear the right song. For me, music is, going to live concerts is like my church at the end of the day. And it doesn't matter if it's a song by a Christian rock band or by somebody else. If the words are there, like, I feel it. And it's the same thing. I know that God's finally okay with me being me and not, he's not dropping hints all around my life. He's not introducing me to 10 more trans people while I'm still fighting being transgender. And that was something that happened, right? Like, eventually, God always puts things in your way, and then we're really good at navigating around it because we're like, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to see that. I don't want to hear that. Nope, this is not the path I've decided that God has made for me. And so I met transgendered people, and I met people who knew other trans people. And, like, intimately got to find out about their personal journeys and like how it was working. And like I ran into TV shows suddenly that had transgender characters, and I don't even watch that much TV, so that's really hard to find. And those hints are not being dropped anymore. It's not so drastic of like, why do they keep showing up everywhere?
So the hand of God sort of.
It's just kind of like
the hand of God navigating you through this.
Yeah. How many signs can you have put in your way before you run into one? I finally ran into it, and now they're not being put in my way anymore. Mm-hmm. So that's how I know. If that makes, maybe that doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, it does. And I always say to people who are wrestling with this and scriptures and so forth, the question I always ask is, if there is, which part of us is eternal? And the part of us that's eternal is our spirit, our soul, right? And so, in fact, the scriptures say we're going to slough off this outer person when we die and receive a new and immortal and perfect body. So I always ask people who are theologically worried about this, I ask them, in Christian theology, if there's ever a conflict between the outward person and the inner being, the soul, which one should triumph? And when you see it that way, it clicks. The eternal. If there's ever any conflict between the eternal and the temporal, we should conform the temporal to the eternal because that's our eternal essence. And it just seems to me to be so clear and such basic Christian theology. What would you want to say to someone who is thinking, I may be transgender, I'm scared, oh my goodness, what would you want to say to them?
Find a community that respects trans people, be a person that respects transgender people, and in general, just be a person that respects transgender people, and they made a decision that was best for them. But find a community that respects them so you can start asking some questions. And that's the biggest thing with anybody. Like, you can make assumptions all day long, but we all know that assumptions are rarely correct. But if you ask questions, and if people are willing and open to answer those questions, you're going to get more information. And then, I guess that's the biggest thing. Like, you can do a lot of research on your own, and you're going to run into right now, because of the way that the internet works, your top searches are based on, like, what's trending. There was, at one point in time, I was Googling something for transgender therapy, and this is after I made my decision, and some of the top results were about people who detransitioned. Because that was a big thing in the media. It was during the whole bathrooms argument. And so detransitioning articles were popping up left and right. So more than Googling anything, I would say go talk to people within that community and just ask questions. And finding out what other people's experiences are. And everybody's journey is different. Everybody's reason for transitioning really comes from a different place. A lot of people don't really put all the connectors together until a little older. I was different because I knew when I was 4. And then I just had to figure out how to live with it or how to move forward.
But what do you say to the person who says, I could lose my family, I could lose my job, I could be ostracized? What do you say to them?
Well, your job is safe legally now, at least for now. So, because that's a federal law now, thank goodness.
Supreme Court ruling. So what if the person says...
With the family, though?
They might hate me at work.
They might hate you at work. When I was job hunting, I was specifically looking for LGBT-friendly businesses. And that has been a huge part of every job hunt that I've ever had. And with this last job, since it was officially after I was out and had been medically transitioning for a while, I actually told them in the interview, I think that was my first statement, was like, I'm a transgender man. And we need to start the interview off with that question, because if your response to that is, well, then I know that I can exit and you can go about your day and I didn't waste your time and you didn't waste mine. And the company that I work for, they're great. They were like, okay, that's not what we really need to ask you. Like, we need to find out if you can do this job. So it worked out. But, you know, when you're job hunting, that's something to always keep an eye out for. And dig into the information. Glassdoor reviews, as much as companies don't like them, is a really good place to find out information.
Where's that?
Glassdoor.com.
Glassdoor.com.
It's employees reviewing their companies.
Yeah.
And companies, some companies don't like that. I've worked for companies that don't like it because it's not always nice. Yeah. But it is sometimes truthful. Like, there's, you can feed through it. As far as the family goes, like I said, everybody's going to have their family struggle, and your family could disown you. And a big thing that I've always known, being raised by a single mom and her not always being able to be present, is that your family is chosen. Like, blood doesn't make family. I've watched blood family walk away. And that's an experience that I had at a young age before any of this happened. Blood doesn't mean anything. At the end of the day, adults make adult decisions. And you, as a person who is going to grow into an adult, you get to make your own adult decisions. And it doesn't make it easy. It is by far not easy. And it is something that we genuinely faced Memorial Day 2 years ago when I emailed all of my family members. And I felt sick the week before. I felt sick the week after. And it took a long time to say, okay, this is what it's going to be, but it's the choice that I have to make for me, because at the end of the day, you're not going to be around forever. And I'm the one who has to live with myself. So it's not easy, but it is a decision that you get to make.
Yeah. We're almost out of time, but two more quick questions. What do you say to someone who has a loved one who's transitioning? What advice, words do you have for them?
Be okay with being corrected. You're going to mess up the pronouns. We all get into a habit. It's something that we're naturally taught to, like, try to make an assumption. You're going to mess up. When you're told that you messed up, apologize and do better. You know, I still mess up other people's pronouns as they're starting their transition. And you apologize and you do better. And it's only going to stick as you practice. Be open. Ask questions. If you have a question, ask a question. Don't Google it. Ask. And then if you're told, hey, I'm not comfortable answering that. Like, what I usually do is somebody will ask me a question. I always say I'm an open book, which is probably why we're having this interview. And if I'm not comfortable with a question you ask me because I feel like it's too personal or it's just not something I want to talk to about, I will then say, okay, well, go check out, like, this website or that website, you know, or whatever. Like, there's, like, susansplace.org is a great place for information. And, you know, just ask questions. Don't make assumptions. Just ask and be okay with being corrected.
What do you say to the loved one who says, I feel like I'm losing my sister or I feel like I'm losing my son?
My parents said that to me. And I said that I'm the same sarcastic, don't take crap from nobody, and don't have time for your drama person that I always was. I will just have a beard while I have that attitude. My tattoos are the same, and I'll get more, and I still love riding my bike. I have the same wife and the same pets. I'm not sure what's different outside of the exterior, and really the only difference for me, especially because I've always been wearing the same clothes. Like, these were my pre-transition clothes. They just fit better now. The only difference for me is I now will grow out my beard as it grows in because I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
And my voice is a little deeper, but my voice was already kind of deep. So, like, you're not losing anything. That person's still there. All of their experiences before are still there. All the hurt and the pain and all the good stuff is still there. And if you as a loved one are afraid that that's what you're losing just because the exterior might change, shame. Honestly, like, then you didn't see the real person to begin with.
Yes.
And you didn't love the real person to begin with. You loved something on the outside, and that's not okay. We're supposed to love people for what's on the inside.
Yeah, that's good. Last question. How, as you've moved through the transition, How's your relationship with God?
I don't yell at him so much.
Less yelling.
Less yelling, less arguing, less combative. I finally get to say thank you for making me me. Like, that's like a little kid song about, you know, God making, like creating everything that I grew up singing, and that part never resonated with me. But like, I honestly, like, thanks for making me me. Like, I like me. But it also allows me, like, my brain is cleared up to focus on other things. I can spend more time genuinely loving other people versus having an internal conflict. I can spend more time focusing on, you know, growing our family and seeing what comes next,
yeah,
versus just being like, I can't get past not liking myself, so how can I bring anything else or anybody else into this? It's hard to love other people if you don't love yourself.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you for sharing so honestly, so openly. Thank you for helping us to better understand a life experience that for many of us is not ours. And Life Journey Church, let's live into the reality we confess. We all know that the trans, quote, issue is a big deal in our culture today. Let's help lead the way by our example and by our advocacy. Love your neighbor as yourself. Thanks, Jamie. Thanks for sharing today.
Thank you.